Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing to you. There was a time when the Lord God Almighty was sat enthroned in glory in the highest heavens. And as he sat there, his eyes started to survey the worlds that he had created. And as his eyes surveyed the world that he created, they came to rest upon the earth. And as his eyes rested upon the earth, he said, "What is that that I spy with my little eye?" And he said, "We better go down there on the plains of Shinar and have a look at what all of humanity is up to, because there is a buzz of activity happening down there. And from this distance, I can't see what they're attempting to achieve. So we better go down and have a look." And so the Lord God left the highest heavens and he descended to the earth. And what he saw absolutely disgusted him, because what he saw was humanity trying to achieve the impossible. Humanity had become so arrogant that it decided that it was going to build a tower to the glory of its own name, a monument that would stand in honor of its name for all time. In its sheer arrogance, it was attempting to build this pathetic monument so that it could reach up into heaven itself, to reach up into heaven by its own effort. And nothing has changed. Humanity is still attempting to build its towers to the glory of its own name. Humanity is still attempting to build its monuments as an achievement to its own greatness. And you know, humanity to this day is still so arrogant that it believes it can climb its own way into heaven by its own effort. That's how arrogant humanity was back then. And that's how arrogant humanity still is today. That it still believes today that it can climb its own way into heaven by its own effort. How arrogant are we, Lord? And so the Lord looked at the arrogance of humanity and he said, "I've got to put a stop to this thing." Well, he didn't say it because, "If I don't put a stop to this thing, they'll find a way into heaven all by themselves. They'll get there on their own effort." That's not what he meant. He said, "I've got to put a stop to this thing. I've got to put a stop to this thing before these arrogant people start to believe that they can achieve the impossible. I've got to put a stop to this thing before these arrogant people actually believe that they can climb back into heaven by their own effort. I've got to stop this. Because if humanity goes down that path, they will be lost forever. And there will be no coming back for any of them if they go down this path and actually believe that." So the Lord caused chaos there on the plain of Shinar. And he caused it by confusing the language of their people. And he confused it so much that their relationships with each other become so unworkable that all work on that tower, on that supposed pathetic monument to human endeavor, ceased. And so confused it became that a mother was sitting at her table and she said to her son, "I want you to go out and milk the cow, my son." So he went outside and he cut off the head of the rooster and plucked it and brought it back to roast for dinner. No one understood each other anymore. And so their language was confused and they had to spend their time running around, sprouting off their own language, waiting for someone to say, "Hey, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying." And they run around like headless roosters, chasing around everywhere until they started to gather and assemble a people that spoke their language and understood what they were saying. And then they divided themselves according to the language they spoke and understood. And once this process had gone through and they'd all congregated according to their own language, then they completely separated themselves. And as it turns out, each language settled itself in some region of the earth. And so the earth became divided by language. That's the way it worked. And it was necessary because of the sheer arrogance of humanity. That's what caused it all. Then thousands and thousands of years later, something happened. Then thousands and thousands of years later, God determined to send his Spirit to have a Pentecost. And so he sent his Spirit. And you heard it for yourself. Once the Spirit had come upon the apostles, they went out and they began to speak with courage and boldness. And congratulations on getting through all those nations without faltering and naming them all so clearly. That was absolutely magic. But the idea is all these languages, all these nations from all over the earth were assembled, and especially with the sermon of Peter, he got up and spoke. Now, he just didn't babble on, speak in tongues and babble on so that no one knew what in the world that he was saying. He only spoke one language, but all of the people gathered there from all the nations and all the different languages somehow miraculously heard what Peter said and understood what he said. How was that possible? How is it possible that one voice can speak, yet all the different languages of all the different assembled nations can hear exactly what has been spoken? I got no idea how that happened. To me, that's just out of this realms of possibility. But there's one thing I do know, that with the Spirit of God, nothing is impossible. So I believe what happened there as Jesus spoke, the Spirit of God moved people's hearts to understand what was being said. That the Spirit of God moved souls to embrace what was said as the truth, and they believed. And the Spirit of God at that moment reunited all the nations of the earth as one. What was separated on Shinar is now reunited by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to reunite all people as one. Not under a monument made by the arrogance of humanity, but now under the monument erected by God himself on this earth on a hill known as Calvary. It is the Holy Spirit's work to reunite all the nations of the earth under the cross. And as he unites all the nations of the earth as one under the cross, he unites them all in faith and belief in the one on the cross, in Jesus Christ. See, you don't believe in this stuff because you've done your study and because you've come to your own conclusion that this Christianity got to be right. You only know it because the Spirit has worked this faith and this belief into you. You've been open to it, you've been embraced it, and you've accepted it for sure. But it is entirely the work of the Spirit of God that you are here. It is entirely the work of the Spirit that you believe what you believe. And you see, where is the endeavor of humanity? Nowhere. And that's the way it needs to be. But you see, once the Holy Spirit has done his work, then there are three marks of this congregation. Three marks of the church. Because when they were gathered there, the first thing that happened is they heard a rushing wind. Cyclone, hurricane, some call it. But not a breath of air moved. It was just a sound. the sound of a rushing wind. And they saw what appeared to be tongues of fire. It wasn't actually fire, but that's what it looked like. That's what it appeared as. And then they spoke in this language that everyone understood. You see, they heard, they saw, and they spoke. Right there is the mark of the church that the Spirit of God is doing his work in. They saw, they heard, and they spoke. And as the Spirit of God breathed upon this people in this congregation, because the breath of the Spirit or the wind that they heard is nothing other than the breath of Almighty God himself. The same breath that breathed life into Adam and Eve at creation. That's what they heard. Because the breath of God is life-creating breath. It is life-preserving breath. And that's what has been breathed into us. The very breath of God. And that breath has created us. Restored us. The Bible would say, through that breath we are born again. We are renewed. We are a new creation because the Spirit, God has breathed his Spirit into us. So we are a born again people. But more than that, the fire of the Spirit has come upon us. The refining fire of the Spirit has descended upon us. And that refining Spirit has cleansed us and purified us from all sin, from all wrong. That's what the Spirit does, cleanses us and purifies us so that we stand before our God now, holy, clean, pure, white as snow. That's us right now, right here. A new creation, pure, clean, white as snow, with a commission to speak. We have been given the words to speak. And don't tell me we haven't been given the words of to speak, because the words that we speak are the words of the Spirit of God who is in us. And so the Spirit, have any of you ever wanted to speak in tongues? Any of you ever really desired to have the gift of tongues? I have. And God has answered my prayer. And I can speak in tongues. Do you want to hear it? Any of you interested? Jesus Christ is my Saviour. That's speaking in tongues, people, because that's the language of the angels. That's the language of heaven. Don't ever tell me you cannot speak in tongues. You speak the language of the Spirit of God. He doesn't want you to go out there and sprout and babble so no one understands what you're saying. The language of the Spirit is to proclaim Jesus Christ with boldness. How many of you can speak in tongues? None of you. Well, that's hopeless exercise. How many times have I preached here? No, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, not enough, obviously. You can all speak in tongues. You can speak in the tongues of angels, people. You can speak the language of heaven. And that's what the disciples did. They went out there and they spoke the language of heaven to all those people gathered there. And that's why that language moved their hearts. That's why their language touched their souls. That's why they believed, because they recognized this wasn't the language of any human. This was the language of heaven, the language of angels themselves. So don't tell me you can't speak in tongues. Of course you can. So there's a mark of the church. A mark of the church is filled with people reborn through the power of the Spirit, recreated through the breath of God, cleansed and purified from all their sin, and given the gift of speaking in the tongues of angels. Is that what this congregation here in Mount Barker is? If you evaluate this congregation here in Mount Barker, is it really a Spirit-filled church? Does it have those marks about it? United as one. All born again of the breath of God. Cleansed and purified from all sin. and speaking the message of Jesus Christ boldly. That's church, people. That's church. Clear as Pentecost itself. And you've all had your Pentecost, haven't you? Of course you have. The moment you were baptized, you had. And do you know what makes this something so wonderful to be part of a church like this? Because I've told you what the marks of the church are, but then as this Acts goes on, it tells you what the nature and character of this church is. First of all, it's everyone united in fellowship together as one. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's everybody celebrating the new life that the Holy Spirit brings, that the Holy Spirit creates. But it's not only celebrating new life as with the apostles, it is celebrating this new life with joy. It's the same joy we have in believing in God. And it's a joy that is unshakable. It's a joy that's unbreakable. It's a joy that is there when life is at its worst. When life gets roughest, when life gets toughest, there's always that joy that's there because it's a joy of knowing God is with you. He's right there in it with you. He's experiencing it with you. You're not on your own. There is a joy of always knowing your oneness, your fellowship with God. And nothing can take that away from us. But that's the joy of a congregation. Because it is not only celebrating this new life and our oneness together, it's a joy of knowing you're there for me, that you're there for each other. Just as God is always with you, you're always there for each other. And as God keeps reassuring and comforting and strengthening and doing all he does, so you're always there for each other, doing the same things for each other. That's the nature of church. So I know, well, I'm not a member of this church, but I am, because I'm a member of the church of all time, and that makes us one, you and I, doesn't it? I'm a member of the church of all time, from Adam and Eve to the very end. But the great thing about this, I'm not only a member of the church of all time, I'm a member of the church of all eternity. I am one with believers of all time, and I'm one with the angels of heaven right now. We are sitting here worshiping God right now, along with every other congregation on the earth. We are one. And with all the angels in heaven worshiping God, we are one. That's what makes one church. So it only stands to reason. You're there for me, aren't you? You've got to think about that one, aren't you? No matter what, we are there for each other. No matter what, we're never alone, because the Holy Spirit has drawn us together as one. And what is the point of that if we're not one with each other when life gets tough, when life gets rough, when we're not there for each other? Then the Holy Spirit has been stopped in his tracks somehow. And so the nature of the church is the fellowship, the new life we celebrate, the joy and the oneness of worshipping God together. Like I said, we're saints throughout all time and with the hosts of heaven. We are one in our worship of God. But we are also one ultimately, as the apostles would teach us, we're also one of proclaiming the gospel message of the cross and Jesus Christ with courage and with boldness. And that's just not the pastor. That's everyone. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, it is that courage to confess your faith and to proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord. That's the nature of church. Think about it. What a church it is. Living in fellowship. Celebrating new life. Knowing the joy of our oneness together, being one in the worship of our God, and being united in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a church this is. And what a great joy it is to be part of it. And God bless you all for your part in his church here on this earth. And God just said, amen. So I better say it too. God bless you all.